This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Paul Osborne in studios with us here today. I have to tell you, you must be way more active on social media than I am. you wrote about in your column this week a post that Brad Halbrook's opponent, Marcia Webb, who ran against him for state rep, posted. And I found this at, I think it was March 28th. So about a week or so ago, that she wasn't going to post this until after the election, win or lose. But she recounts some of the things that she ran into while running for this office. And I'm kind of flabbergasted by it. I don't know what to make of this.
Yeah, that's what it, and I certainly during campaigns, I keep pretty close tabs on the candidates. When they don't send out news releases or anything, you check their, you know, Facebook pages and that to see what's going on, see where they are, and see what they're writing. And Marcia Webb wrote after the election was over, she said, basically, I have a long story to tell. And she recounted her experiences in running for office. She said her opponent won fair and square. She's not saying he didn't win. And
all right, well, let's start with the first of these allegations. The last week of December of 2022, she said that she had heard from several people that her opponent was telling people he would not be running again. She says she called him, requested a meeting. They met at Wits End in Macon around 11:40, right before noon. Said the meeting lasted just short of 2 hours. I stated that I'd heard a rumor he would not be seeking re-election. He stated it was not a rumor, that he made a term limit pledge of 5 terms. Now, prior to the meeting, I had a letter I drafted stating my desire to run. However, I wouldn't primary him if he was going to run. And after being assured repeatedly in that meeting that he was not going to run, he then changed his mind, I guess.
Yeah, and found out later that he had decided to run. I don't know if he was encouraged to stay in or what, but, you know, he has a right to change his mind if he wants to run again.
She says he gave her advice step by step on how to launch the campaign.
Yeah, so it sounds like, you know, when she got involved in this, that she got involved because he wasn't running again, and she was assured that he wasn't going to run again, or she wouldn't have probably been running.
So. Yeah. She also writes, he proceeded to advise me step by step. He did state he would not endorse any candidate until after the primary. He asked that I not announce until he announced his retirement, which would be the week or week after Easter of 2023. 3 weeks prior to that, I called him and advised I had my announcement venue and guests set for April 25th. He then stated he needed until May 19th to see what the election laws were. I told him I was proceeding as planned. He then mocked Darren Bailey, who was planning on attending. He stated, oh, the guy who got more votes than he did in Shelby County. I don't know what that means. The night I announced, when it was over, my then campaign manager received a call from a state senator requesting a meeting. My then campaign manager and I met with him at Napoli's, maybe right out the window here, yeah, in Decatur. He did not tell me not to run, but was encouraging me not to, as he heard my opponent was changed his mind, was going to run. I stayed the course. Anyway, she goes on to, like, people being chewed out by a congresswoman. Can't imagine that's Nikki Budzinski. Wonder who it could be. And that she was followed home by cars at night. I mean, there's a long list of intimidation, she's basically suggesting, by local Republicans or members of the Freedom Caucus after this guy, Brad Halbrook, assured her he was not running. He was going to live up to his pledge, because that's what they all do in the Freedom Caucus, is term limit pledge, and then none of them keep their word. What do you make of all this?
I don't know. I was kind of shocked by it. And say, I keep tabs on candidates and before and after to see what the aftermath is. I was a little surprised to see this. I was even more surprised to see the detail in it, even the times of meetings and where they met and what was said. You know, unfortunately, even though she mentions congresswoman, she mentions state representative or senator, there are no names attached to that. So you can't really start digging around and saying she accused you of doing this or doing that. But she doesn't really mention any names. And she said, you know, as I indicated, that her opponent won. Her opponent won that race, so she's not complaining because she lost. She just didn't care much for the tactics that were used by members of her own party.
In July, I received a phone call that a state representative, not my opponent, called a prominent political figure and told him that it was his fault I was running and get me out of the race. A few weeks later, the same state representative called him again, this time telling him to keep me out of Shelbyville and Shelby County as it was upsetting my opponent. Then yet another state representative was on the same airplane as this prominent political figure and told him to offer me a staff job to get me out of the race. Each time I stayed the course. And then she describes at the Windsor Harvest Parade. There are very specifics about when and where, right?
Yeah, it's pretty detailed.
My then campaign manager was verbally berated by a U.S. congresswoman for being with my campaign. She goes on and describes all the bullying. I mean, this all sounds like a day in the week for the Freedom Caucus to me, doesn't it?
I don't know. It sounds unfortunate to me, and that's one reason that you know, that I didn't have the space to go into the detail that you're reading here. But the fact that I did read all of that, and I thought what really struck me is that she has time down to the minute and where people met, where she met people, where it happened, and not only to her, but to people who were part of her campaign. So it's just not her saying this happened. It's her campaign manager and others in her campaign. I think she indicated that everyone except one person stayed with her campaign throughout the...
Even though they were threatened about jobs and everything else.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's... we wonder why more people don't get involved in races.
First of all, these are allegations, and as you said, I don't know.
Right.
But if he did, in fact, meet with her and tell her that he was not running... Right. And then somewhere along the course changed his mind, which is also his right to do.
That's right, yeah.
But to then go after. And I mean, you know, you're the one that stood up in front of the cameras and promised a pledge, a term limit. Right.
Yeah.
And then you break your word. You break your word to her and then treat her like the villain, which is what these people do all the time. Right. I mean, there's no honor. Yeah. In any of this. I mean, that may be an old fashioned word, but it used to mean something.
Yeah, I think what is kind of disturbing is that this seemed to be, and I certainly don't know her that well, but seemed to be a person honestly motivated to seek the office, you know, for the right reason. She kind of, dotted all the I's, crossed the T's before she got into it. She made sure that she wasn't going to compete with the incumbent, that he wasn't going to run again. She was assured he wasn't. So she went ahead to do it, and the incumbent, as you said, it's his right to change his mind. He just kind of left her hanging out here. And if that's the case, he decides to run again, then he has an opponent, and she has every right to keep running, even though he decided to get into the race.
I think it just, to me, it's what's wrong with politics today. And this isn't necessarily this case. It's a Republican, but it's not red or blue to me. It's this entitlement that once these people get in, they just feel like it's theirs as long as they want it.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like a fever in the blood. They used to describe it. You get in it, and many times you go in with most people with extremely honest motivation. You're going to go in, you're going to change things, you're going to do things for your constituency. And you get caught up in the system, you get caught up in everything that's happening there, and it gets in your blood,
I think,
and you can't give it up.
It's the perks and the perceived power of just everybody. Well, the idea that you run on term limits, and Dan did this too, and don't let him fool you. He changed the mileage on that. When you go out and you make a pledge to the people that the problem with all these folks over here is they're there too long, and I'm going to run, and I'm only going to do this, and then you turn around and break that, you've just lied to everyone.
Well, we've seen that in the past.
A lot of times.
Yeah, and people in our own area that, have done that and pledged 10 years and stay in office 20 years.
Yeah.
It's just like, when I've encountered people, I'm saying, you promised to do this. Well, yeah, you say that, when you're running, you say a lot of things. Well, yeah, maybe you should just say the truth when you're, when you're running.
But here is what I know about the Illinois Freedom Caucus. Whomever she's describing in any of this, and whichever congresswoman she's, describing in all of this, they are out for each other, and that is it. They're not representing us. They're not doing anything for their constituents. They've just got their little network of protecting them and theirs. That's what they do.
Well, and that's apparently what she ran into. And she doesn't mention Freedom Caucus here. She doesn't refer to that organization. And to that group of people, and she doesn't use any names. So I guess we have to just kind of read between the lines and say this is why this happened, and this is where it happened, and who the people were that were doing this.
Well, she mentions Darren Bailey's name. She mentions her opponent's name. She mentions another state rep that's not her opponent. I don't think she's talking about somebody from Chicago. And she literally mentions a congresswoman.
Yeah.
There are two congresswomen in central Illinois that would have anything to do with this district. And Nikki Budzinski wouldn't have been marching with the Republicans in Windsor.
You wouldn't think so, would you?
Not in her district.
No. Well,
so I think we can go more than just. Now, these are her representations. I have no idea. But this is typical political behavior. I mean, this is, you know, and I think that people write it off as like, well, you know, you got to toughen up and, you know, we throw elbows. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, and I think what disturbs me about people who run many times for the first time is they don't anticipate that happening, particularly when they go to great lengths to make sure that the incumbent is not going to run again, so they're not really treading on his turf or her turf.
Yep.
And that's what she did to me. You look at the procedure that she went through, and she recorded it every step of the way in time and place. You know, she made sure that her opponent was not going to run.
Yeah.
And it wasn't her fault.
And then when she called him, according to her, in quotes, what changed, his response was, we don't pick our replacements, but you need to roll back your campaign. You're just making it difficult. I mean, after this, he spent 2 hours with her, you know, a year and a half before that, telling her he wasn't going to run.
Yeah, and I'm sure it made it more difficult, you know, for him. Once you had a lot of these races did not have opponents in the primary.
No, he actually had to talk to some constituents.
Yeah. Well, I think that's good for everybody. You know, if it's making it difficult, I don't care what office you're running for, that means you got to get out and work harder and that you've got to answer some questions.
Might even roll into Decatur and meet a couple people.
Yeah. Well, that district is my
mine too.
Your too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I guess I had special interest in this because we have five that touch Macon County. This is one of them it's a small part of Macon County. Most of it's kind of south into Shelbyville.
But they spent money. I got more direct mail from him than I've ever gotten in my life, you know, during that window of that campaign.
Yeah. Yeah, I did too. Yeah, at my house.
And that's what I mean by meeting people in Decatur.
Yeah.
It means he came to you in your mailbox with some boxing gloves and goofy. That's what goes for meeting people today.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think people are getting to the point where, you know, they want something more than just a name, you know, a name on a poster or a name on a postcard.
Somebody tries to break that code, this system, this doesn't work anymore. I mean, why would a congresswoman be involved? I mean, why would you be berating people? Why? I mean, you guys don't just pick your own club.
Yeah. And that part of it's
just disrespectful to the voters, but the voters don't care. They're just going to do whatever. I feel like I don't know this woman. I don't know him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's been five terms and I don't know him. I heard from her running for the first time way more than I've heard from him in five terms.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard from her too. Yeah. And just basically explaining when she declared her candidacy, you know, to say she checked all the right boxes. And I think she laid the groundwork for not jumping in and just, you know, regardless of who else is running. And I think she tried to be a good member of the party and say, I don't want to interfere with an incumbent. If he's going to stay in office, I'm not going to run for this office. But if he's leaving, and she found out that he was, I was going to run.
Yeah, she did all the respectful stuff up front, and that's what gets you. Well, you know, as the world turns, right?
Yeah.
Shirley Moore.
Uh-huh.
I was thrilled vicariously just to hear you ran into the building. I am jealous. I haven't seen her for years.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, it's kind of strange. When those elevator doors open, you don't know who's going to be there. It's kind of like, you know, most of the time.
It's like a lottery, yeah.
And so the doors opened. Shirley was standing there, and just like the years melted away.
Former council member.
Oh, yeah, and Shirley and Dan, her husband.
Great people.
Yeah, and just like you look in the community and you see people many times that go unheralded, you know. Well, Shirley and Dan Moore, you know. Dan, a local attorney, passed away about 10 or 12 years ago. but so active, you know, in so many ways. And Shirley on the library board for many years involved.
Well, they were heavy involved in raising a lot of money for the library to be where it is today.
Yeah, and served on the city council for two
and was
three
a,
terms.
Was a very conscientious, just sort of like middle of the road, you know, do the right thing for the right reason, no agenda kind of smart lady that served on the council.
Yeah, she was.
Like the exact kind of leadership you miss the most, right?
Yeah, and just like I think that's what, you know, after all these years of knowing Shirley and Shirley and Dan, and they came and they marched in the St. Patrick's Day parade, you know, when I ran for mayor, they not only just gave you a lip service, they got out and worked. I know they came to the office and they addressed postcards and flyers and that. You know, they did a lot of the manual stuff like that, and just to be a part of it, and very much an encouragement to me. And I think over the years, particularly when you've been an editor and publisher as long as I have in this community, you look back and you look at people like Shirley and Dan Moore and think, wow. You know, some incredible people have influenced my life and been a part of my life. And when I see Shirley, elevator's door open, it's like stepping back in time and seeing someone you really think a lot of.
Like the balloons and the confetti and everything to drop, right?
Yeah.
All right. One more interesting thing. We'll do the break. We'll come back. I haven't thought about the Eagle grocery stores for a very long time until I read the bit in your column today. We'll tell you what that's about on the other side of the break. Here's Nick with your 3-day forecast.
Today, we've got a chance of showers or thunderstorms, cloudy with a high of 62. Tonight, chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and a low of 45. For Friday, partly sunny, high near 64. Saturday, sunny with a high near 74. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 50 degrees. Your WSOI time is 7:24.
Experience Milliken University firsthand during a campus visit day on Saturday, April 20th. Tour campus to see where you'll live and learn. Explore top-ranked majors and programs and find your fit through athletics, performing arts, and more than 75 student clubs and organizations. Along with important admission information, you'll learn how the new Milliken Tuition Promise makes your private education affordable. You can even submit your free application for admission on the spot. RSVP for the April 20th campus visit day at milliken.edu/visit.
At Busey Wealth Management, we're proud to partner with individuals, families, and foundations, ensuring possibilities become achievements. From preserving and enhancing your assets to securing your legacy for future generations, we're focused on your success. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
It took more than makeup, costumes, music, and lights to get me on stage. It took the gift of an organ donor.
Nobody said it was easy. It's such a shame for us to part.
Be an organ donor, because life does go on.
Register at lifegoeson.com.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here with the City Hall insider, Paul Osborne. Coming up, Mark Tupper in just a couple of minutes. All right, so they're planning a reunion?
Yeah, those that worked at the Eagle supermarkets and hadn't thought about Eagle for quite a while. But the lady...
Lisa May.
Yeah, Lisa... trying to get together a reunion, and she wants people to contact her and... be kind of neat, really. People had kind of worked and probably spent years together in the Eagle supermarkets, which no longer exist, obviously. It's just like, it'd be good times. It would be.
Man, Paul, it's like just all about nostalgia today. I got Shirley Stanley. I got Eagle. I'm back here like a long, long time ago.
I remember Eagle very fondly. I was a paper boy, and we'd go there, and kids were given a free donut or a free cookie. So we'd go there after the paper route, and I probably went there thousands of times, literally.
Yeah, I just haven't thought about it in years.
We think about it a lot.
Hey, there's a biplane flying by the window.
There you go. Well, just check it out. You can, if you go to the City Hall Insider page on the Kid DecaturalTribune.com. Lisa's contact information is there. If you're a former Eagle employee and you'd be interested in participating in this, there's a couple of ways for them to contact
her. That'd be neat, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's just fun. Yeah. I read that and I thought, wow, okay, a couple of great things.
Maybe they have a cookie. Maybe they have the cookie for
maybe
Nick.
Maybe they'll do free cookies for Nick.
I should show up.
Because that will guarantee him to show up.
Be there, man.
Yeah. Fun stuff as always. I think we're talking off the air, and I think it's important to know we've only got like a minute and a half here. But you know, I look back at somebody like Shirley, and it's too bad there are people who don't, you know, probably know her legacy or what she was like. She was always such a joy to have on as a guest, and such a just a council member was there because she wanted the community to be a better place.
Oh yeah.
And I don't ever remember knowing if Shirley was a Democrat or a Republican. It didn't matter. She was just there. And I think that we have the nostalgia for a reason, because I just think we have all too often such a lack of quality in candidates that you look back at people who just did it out of a call for public service and not to feed their ego or do all the things that there's so many of these people doing today. There's a fondness there that's hard to, I know it sounds old fogey, but that used to be more common.
Yeah, I mean, when you were considered Democrat, Republican, or whatever, they were just people working for the community because they were honestly motivated to do good.
Yep.
And love those people, still do.
Yeah.
And we still have them around. It's just like maybe they don't surface as much as they used to because of everything else going on. Shirley, just still really just a jewel.
Made me happy to read it, Paul. Thank you for sharing it. I really do appreciate it. All right. So we've got a lot to get to, including Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports a little later today. Debbie Bogle will join us from the United Way. We'll tell you about all the events that are coming up there. And check out the Decatur Tribune online at DecaturTribune.com. And once again, if you're a former Eagle store employee, they're wanting to put together a union. Contact information is there in the Insider column. Paul, have a great week. We'll see you next Thursday. Paul Osborne, City Hall Insider and publisher of the Decatur Tribune.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit NewhoffMedia.com.